Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here. So let's do this. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living, Business Edition. In today's episode, we are going to talk about the energy of money because I see so many of you changing your careers, changing jobs, changing the way your business operates. And I just feel that without really thinking or feeling into and expanding our ideas of money, it's going to be very hard to make those transitions. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. But real quick, just a quick announcement for any of you who are interested in starting or growing your spiritual business. You might already know, but I am doing a four-week course called Full-Time Spiritual Mentor, where I really teach you how to start creating that regular income, how I did it, and also how I've seen so many other people do it as well. I would love to share my knowledge. It's the only time I'm actually going to be teaching it live. Ultimately, it will be an on-demand course. So if you would love to do it with me live, ask me questions, be there with me, I'd love to have you. I'm going to link the course in the show notes. Okay, let's get into the episode. So I want to start off by saying that I want to pretend that I did this episode for you guys, but honestly, I wanted to do it for myself as well. I am really good at making money. Like, I know how to make money. You know, I'm the child of immigrants and they're survivors. So I was like really taught how to survive. And I feel like if you put me anywhere, I'll like know how to somehow make money. I think that's also the entrepreneurial spirit, right? I have a lot of generations of entrepreneurs in my lineage. So it's just like, I know how to make money. But making money, I feel, is very different than allowing money, flowing money. And I don't know about you, but I think we're all moving out of that place of like this extreme effort to make money. It's like not sustainable. I just think our generation, and not just our, like I'm a millennial, but I think I look at Gen Z, they're even like less interested in the hustle, the forcing, the making of money. And I think, you know, we're really moving into this place where how can we allow, how can we flow? I think that's really stemming from the, we're going to find our gifts and our talents. And basically, like from the gifts and talents, we are going to start to let money flow in through there. So that's my prediction. But I still think that it is a shift to move from making money. And it's almost like an addiction, right? Like when you get scared and, oh my gosh, like what if I don't have money next month or whatever? You just go into those old patterns of making money. And I really want to, personally, I want to encourage myself and kind of challenge myself to see if I can shift out of that like extreme effort. And I've been doing it little by little, but I really want to feel the energy of money and almost get guidance, the source, from money herself. You know, I may not know a ton about this topic, but the cool thing about my gift is I can connect to any sort of energy, and money is an energy. So I thought, let me connect to her, download, ask her questions, see what I can get and share with you. And I'm excited to share because I think there's some really good, really good stuff here. So let's get started. So the first thing I wanted to get clear on was what truly is the energy of money? Because I think that when we're thinking about money, it's very easy to get caught up in like different wavelengths. So I really wanted to know what she felt like. And number one, that's the first important thing. She really felt like female to me, which is funny because I think when I think about making money, it feels very masculine. And I think the process of making money or business and all that can often feel very masculine. But when I was tapping into the energy of money, it felt very feminine to me. Actually, like she gave me the name Lady Abundance was the vibe, you know? So I thought that was really interesting. And that kind of tells us that she's like flowy and free and watery almost in a way. And that I think that's important to know that it is a little bit more feminine. And then the next thing she was telling me was most people have almost this layer of an imposter over the true energy of money. And she was actually trying to show me how to separate them. So she was like, okay, I want you to like feel money, just kind of like, so if you guys want to practice that with me, like just really feel the energy of what money means to you. And then she showed me almost like this film over it. And she's like, okay, now split the film. So I kind of like split to two things. And she's like, on most people's feeling towards money, on top of what money really is, there's an energy of anxiety. And she's like, you know, that energy of anxiety really comes from a few things, from self-judgment, from ancestors, she was saying, and even past lives. So a lot of the times, like our true understanding of money is clouded by this anxiety, basically. And it was really cool to kind of split the two. And then she was like, that's me. Like, I'm under that anxiety. So it's like almost like when you're trying to sit and like really maybe receive messages about how you're going to make money or what's better ways to make money, you're going to need a little bit more meditation time because you have to kind of get through the cloud. So imagine like I'm trying to see like a beautiful view, but I have to fly through a cloud first to see the beautiful view. So usually you're going to think the cloud is the energy of money, and it's definitely an anxious kind of very human too, like very like survival type. And then she was saying, she's like, I'm right behind that. So I thought that was really interesting. And then she's saying that like the biggest mistake that we tend to make is that we plug in to that imposter. Like we really believe like the cloud of these self-judgments, these like things that are in our lineage, like how, you know, however our ancestors felt about money and even these past lives, that is usually where we go first. And she was saying that like another way to kind of think about it is that first cloud, that imposter is really like in the body. Like she says that it's very, like it felt very human to me, very much like, let me see how I can explain it. Like these like almost like pinches in my body. It was a trigger, almost like my body was triggering in a big way. And then it's like when you breathe through that and you let the trigger move, then right past it, there's like a little bit of like a wonderland, like a kind of a unicorn, anything is possible type of vibe. And that's where she resides. So for me, it was like, okay, the first thing we have to do is really get to know that imposter and not, you know, not be afraid to like look at it, confront it. It's not about getting mad about it. It's really a cloud that will really move on its own with the wind, as long as we don't grab onto it and like just decide that that is the reality. Next, I was asking kind of this question about like, how could we make more, or like, how could we make space for more money? And she was showing this like really interesting concept. And I don't know, see if I can explain this well and if you can stay with me here. But she was showing me like a plastic bag, like almost like the one that I get when I go to the supermarket. And she was like, you know, and she was talking about me. She was like, most of us have like this little plastic bag to collect the money. Almost made me think about like an Easter egg hunt, right? Like when my kids just did an Easter egg hunt, like if they had a plastic bag and those eggs got really heavy, it would just kind of break a hole and like you just can't get more eggs and it's just a big mess. And she's like, you know, most of us have these like plastic bag ways of making money. So kind of imagine like we need these funnels for money to flow into, because she was like, you know, money like exists everywhere. It's flowing all the time. And it's almost like what we want to try to do is like direct the money towards us. So almost like set up like a magnet that directs the money towards us and into this like funnel, right? And she says, most of us though have this funnel that is like a plastic bag, that it's not sturdy, it's not efficient. And I think what she meant by that was like, that's kind of how we're set up right now. Our businesses are set up that way. Even like the way we work are set up that way, because a plastic bag is not sustainable. Like it's not a good structure to be able to hold a lot and to hold consistently. Like I'll burn out, like because the plastic bag will break. And that's like the equivalent to like people burning out and getting exhausted in the way that we're making money. So you usually have to stop, take a break and go grab another plastic bag and, you know, try to do it all over again. And she's saying like, that's kind of the way that we are funneling money into us right now. And that is not sustainable. You might have gone through like tons of plastic bags over the last few years, burnout, try to get back into it, burnout, holding a bag with a bunch of holes in it, you know? And she's like, what's really happening right now is that we are, those of us who are listening to this episode, are really trying to make a sturdy, like state-of-the-art funnel that is like way better than a plastic bag. So if you're with me with this metaphor of the plastic bag, and if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I have a plastic bag, what is needed right now is to consider an efficient way of funneling that money. And I think what that means to me is like, the question we're asking ourselves is like, how can one make money in a way that is sustainable? That, you know, sometimes that might be like that it works, you know, without me, that it runs without me. If you're running a business, right? It's like these systems that work like super well. They don't need a bunch of people. They're just flowing. And it's something that's really sturdy and can stick. So in your business, if you don't have systems like that, that are really letting money flow in, or even if you think about your own personal finances, like if they're not systems where it's like, okay, like money comes here and then it goes into this account. And then after this account, it goes into here. Like it seems like it needs to be a pretty sophisticated and thoughtful system. And I was actually seeing like removing the plastic bag and putting like just like steel and metal and a really big funnel, like almost like an endless funnel, where the plastic bag obviously has a maximum. And that's, she was talking about that too, that we tend to receive the amount that we think we can handle. And sometimes it's because of like the actual system, but other times it's like we do not trust ourselves or know what we would do with more. Like we don't have a system. Like if we get more, like Benny's, my husband's actually somebody that we've been working on this with. For him, he's like the kind of person that like he gets money in his pocket, and sometimes it's like that pocket, like it's like that pocket has holes, and before you know it, the money just goes to random places, right? It's like you have to tell the money where to go. If not, you just don't know, like, oh my gosh, I'm making all this money and I don't even know where it goes. So she was explaining that like if you don't have a good system for where money could go, which to me I was understanding as like a plan, right? Like maybe they're different bank accounts, maybe there are different ways of investing, like some sort of strategy, then you will like not want to bring in more because you'll feel like a bag lady. Like you'll have to have like 17 plastic bags to kind of keep up rather than having like a nice system where everything goes. So I felt that was both business but also personal. So for example, it's interesting, like my husband, when he started to tell me like, oh, he wanted to start building homes on the property, like somehow that gave me like a place to put, like gave both of us a place to make money. And we started to make more money to be able to invest in these properties. But like before that, I don't know, we like didn't know, I don't know, there was no need for more money, basically, I guess. We were good. And somehow like those houses gave us another funnel. So that's what she was like explaining, that you can artificially like make those funnels as well. Like you can say, oh, this account or this savings, or I'm going to save here and go on this trip or whatever. So she was talking about like these sophisticated systems and funnels in order for more money and working on our own ability to trust ourselves. Because remember when we were talking about that like imposter layer of anxiety that we tend to think is money, but it's actually just that imposter over the energy of money. And a lot of it is fueled, that imposter is fueled by self-judgment. And it stems like, it's very like, kind of like almost like from your parent, but it more than that, it's like from society. Like there is this kind of like shame around not being, it feels like it's very deep. And I don't know the history of this, but it feels like there's like this shame around not being like educated on money. And it's like, the truth is like a lot of that education was kept quiet for a long time. Now, obviously we have the World Wide Web and podcasts and things like that, that where any of us can learn, but that shame like remains because it was almost made to seem like something very complicated, but it's actually quite simple. It's really, she was saying it's like really about, I hate the word like law of attraction, but it's kind of like a magnet is what she was saying, like kind of magnetizing it. So if you feel shameful about like your ability or like you're judging the way your capacity or your capability to take care of money, that kind of affects the way money coming in. So we have to, that's like more the emotional kind of part that we have to work on within ourselves to really see that we are a trustworthy person when it comes to money. My next question was, okay, what about people that are leaving a paycheck or maybe even leaving like a way of making money. Like it could be that your business has been making money this way and now you want to like shift into making money this way, right? So I'm like, what about people that are shifting from paycheck or from a way of making money to a new way? And it's like scary to make that leap. Like, what is the guidance around that? This guidance actually made me laugh. And I was like, wow, it's so funny how we sometimes think money is about math or we think it's about some sort of complicated system. And I just cannot believe how much of it is emotional or like maybe psychological is like a good word too. And she was saying that for people that are kind of making that move from like a paycheck or a way of making like a steady way of making money to something that maybe is more entrepreneurial or something that's new, she was saying that like you got to think about like how that paycheck company, like the company that was like paying you or the even the way money was being made in. She says the reason that there was no fear around those paychecks is because somebody in the business at some point created trust around specifically a product. And I was like, well, you know, there's huge tech companies that like don't really make money, but they say have money because they raise money. And she's like, yeah, well, there was like a person selling this idea and really got people's trust in the idea. And really what it feels like, what the trust is, it's like this feeling of this works. Like I believe in this product, this system, like it absolutely works. It's kind of like I have the program Soul Reading Method and there's like no doubt in me that it works. I've seen it work a million times. There's a lot of trust around that product and it's a feeling of this is valuable and this works. So wherever, if you're getting steady money from something else, that has been established. It might not have been established by you because you might just like be an employee or something, but there's somebody in the business and sometimes it's the brand, you know, like it's the brand, like how it looks in the commercial like market or whatever, but there is trust there. So what she was saying was like, okay, now we just need to move that over to this new thing. And how do we create trust in the new thing that we're offering? Maybe the new thing, and we have to think about the new thing we're offering as service, product, whatever that may be. And how do you get to a place that you can trust that service or product? Number one, it's testing it enough, right? Like testing it to enough. It's kind of like, you know, if I had, I don't know, a cup and I kept putting water in it and I turned it upside down and I was like, oh my God, I've run it through all these tests. I even ran it over with a car and it still is amazing and it holds up and it works. Like running the product or the service through enough testing that you could get behind it, that you can trust it. So it's not all like mantras like, I believe in myself, I believe in myself. It's actually testing. Even if you think you're the product, you're not like, it's not, you're not really the product. It's like whatever's coming through you is the product. And there's a way for that to be tested enough where you're like, I have confidence in this thing because I've seen it work. In addition to that trust, it's like, this is valuable. So this one can be like a little trickier because sometimes we have to kind of see it, the value in ourselves. But I would say as somebody who in many ways I make money off of these things that I put out myself, I would say that there is a way to see the value even if you're feeling a little like insecure or about yourself. Because, and if you hear me in the podcast, sometimes I'll say, hey guys, like leave me a review or like DM me, let me know. And that's because I need to see that this is valuable. So even like the outside validation, comments, like really talking to your customer, whoever is receiving the product or receiving the service, to see and let yourself experience the transformation that they experience. And I think those of us who have a hard time feeling valuable or seeing value in the things that we're doing, we're also the people that have a hard time receiving a compliment. So like if it's hard for me when somebody says, oh my gosh, your hair looks amazing. Actually, this happened to me today. I bumped into this friend while I was walking my dog this morning and she's like, Nikki, your hair looks like so good. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you. It's so fun. But then I proceeded to tell her why it was a little high maintenance. It's like I had to dilute the compliment because I didn't know what to do with like the fullness of the compliment, you know? So I had to dilute it with a little bit of like, oh, but just so you know, it's a little hard to take care of, right? So we, in order to like see the value in the things that we have created, we have to work on those two things. Like, first of all, it's value is really about our ability to receive. You know, it's like, I have to get better at receiving compliments, receiving the truth about, you know, whatever product I put out. And when people say like, oh, it was this or it was that, like, I have to be able to really embody that feedback and to recognize the value. Like, it needs to like exist in my body, not just like intellectually, like see it, know it. Oh yeah, like, of course people like my readings or people whatever. No, I really have to be able to feel the value and know that there is value. So in the new thing that we are creating, if we can establish those two things, trust and value, and like seeing the value, ultimately there will be no bumps in the way that the money flows in. Because when there is no trust or no value, or like we don't see the trust, we don't have any trust, or we don't see the value, what happens is that creates inconsistency in the flow of money coming our way, is from like what I was understanding. But it is a steady trust and value. And it's not just, again, it's not an intellectual trust or an intellectual, you know, concept of like, oh yes, I can see why this is valuable. It's actually like we're living it, we're breathing it. It's like in my body. And that is actually what makes then our aura magnetic and less money flow in with no interruptions. The interruption of money like only happens, well, there's another reason, but like one of the main reasons, right, that interruption of money happens is because we waver in our trust and we waver in our ability to really feel and know that there is worth and value to the thing that we're making. And we know that based off the last thing she said, that an inconsistency in flow of money also comes from the bad systems, like from the systems that cannot be sustained, from the plastic bag. So definitely, like, once there's a system that could sustain the flow and the embodied feeling of trust and seeing that value and seeing that worthiness, that's where the consistency of flow comes from. And if you've ever seen that, if you've ever been somebody receiving a paycheck for that, it's because that has been established in the company that you're working for. The last thing I asked was like, what the hell is like this paradigm shift? Like, I have been doing this, like, I've been in business for over 10 years and, you know, I'm in the business of like knowing people's crises, you know, because I do these readings and I can see like, you know, what's not working, what's, you know, like where people are trying to move, like what the soul really wants. So, you know, I've been seeing this for years and I have never seen so many people like on the same page, like in this shift. So I was like, what is like, I really was like, I was like, money, what's up with this paradigm shift? Like, it really felt that we were, you know, if you guys listened to my earlier episode from this week, it's like, it just really feels like people are like seeing the world differently. And I needed to know like, what is happening and why is that, how is that affecting the way we're understanding money? So what is this paradigm shift that's happening? And I hate to use the buzzwords, but from what I was understanding, it was like a veil that has been lifted. And I feel like I've heard people say that and I didn't understand it for a long time, but it's kind of like we're all hypnotized under this like idea that things are done one way, and then all of a sudden everybody like snaps out of this like hypnotizing feeling. Of course, not everybody is snapping out of it. I think we are the early, I know we are the early wave of it, and we will, you know, be grateful that we did all of this before, because like a few years from now people are gonna be like, oh my gosh, tell me how you did what you did. But it really is like this kind of lie about having to work and for survival and have no choice. And like, this is the way it is. This is the only way it is. And if you don't work like this, if you don't do this way, you're not going to have a happy life. You're not going to have all the things. You're not going to survive. You're not going to do well. That like lie. And I don't know, I feel bad calling it a lie, because maybe there was truth to it during a time. So it's like, I don't want to say it's like necessarily a lie, but it is no longer a belief that we need as a whole. It is like no longer valuable. It's actually the opposite of valuable right now. So it's kind of like, you know, milk is great until it goes spoiled, you know? So it seems like maybe it wasn't a bad way of thinking or seeing the world for the time, like for the time that we had it, for whatever amounts of years or generations. But right now, this idea of this is the only way to live, this is like, this is the only way to work, this is how you make money, or this is how you survive, or this is how you have a good life. Like, we don't, that's just not true for us anymore. And we are waking up to a new truth. And therefore, it's like just a new way of seeing the world. So the shift really is from survival to options. It's like all of a sudden, it felt like there was just this one way. And now there's an understanding that there is many ways. And it kind of just puts the power back into the people, where we were kind of on like a slavery kind of system. And again, maybe that was useful back when that's the only way to work, where, you know, you had to work for like one big company or however that was. I'm not sure where the belief comes from. I just know that it's not needed anymore. And before, we were coming from this place of like survival, like, okay, this is just the way it is. This is the way I got to do it. Like, you know, it is what it is. And now we're really coming from a place of, it's more empowered. It's like somehow we have become more empowered within ourselves and see our value as humans and as producers and creators more than we've ever seen before. I kind of think some of this comes from AI. Like, honestly, this is my prediction, that because AI is like almost a new species we're putting into the world, it actually makes humans see how valuable they truly are. Like, even though an AI is super cool and it has a lot of value and it's this cool machine that can do all this stuff, the human is like, yeah, but you don't have a soul and you are not creative. And you know, you can't do X, Y, Z. So somehow that has made us realize what our value is as humans, and kind of like what we really should be doing with our time and what we should really be doing with our hearts, our minds, our spirit. And it's created this like empowerment that has made us see that we have more options and that we don't have to just settle for like some sort of slavery type work system in order to survive. With this shift actually comes another surprising like shift in perspective and mindset, which is actually a movement to less things. I mean, I think we've been leaning towards this like more and more, but if you even notice, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but like even makeup, I was like thinking about this the other day, or my daughter, when she was doing my makeup for some videos, she was like, you know, like, no, we don't like to wear eyeliner, or like there's like a shift to like no more eyeliner and this kind of stuff. And it's definitely a shift to more natural makeup. And obviously that's a trend and I'm sure it'll change again or whatever, but overall, there's a shift to like less is more. And that actually is going to affect our money, because with this shift, we're actually going to realize like what is worth spending money on and what's not worth spending money on. And for everybody, it's going to be different. But it might be the younger generation, like the Gen Zers, seeing like their parents and how like obsessive they were over like brands or making things perfect or pretty, and they're just like not into that. So it could be like coming from the generation just below us. But with this shift of like choices and like I don't have to like believe everything you're selling me, actually the way we spend money starts to change. Because if you think about it, consumerism is like the greatest trap of all, right? It's like the slavery system is built off of like, oh my gosh, you need all these things. And that's why you need to work the way that you're working, because you need all these things. So that is like kind of bursting that kind of belief that we need all these things to feel good or whatever, because the self-worth is starting to come from within us as humans and like seeing our own value as humans. So we don't need to like get our self-worth from the things that we have or the things that are outside of us. So that's not happening overnight, guys, but that is definitely like we're at the beginning of that change. And that shift is actually like working with this greater paradigm shift from seeing our values as humans and not having to be a slave to anything. So even being a slave to consumerism, which I know is very different than being like a slave to like, this is the way you have to work, but it's all connected. So that's the real shift that's happening. It's this understanding that, like, oh no, like, actually, no, that's not the only way. That's like not the only way to do things. And so if I had a prediction for how it's going to work for you or what is the best path right now, because I think a lot of the things that were shared today are kind of long, like the long-term view, you know, like just kind of real root, kind of fix the base, the everything that we stand on, like fix the way that we understand money. And that takes time. But I would say for like right now, making money seems, it seems like very, to kind of make the shift in small increments, it feels like a very over, like a small over time shift. And even noticing that little things are going to add up. So instead of kind of thinking like, oh, I should have all these products that are priced really high, it actually looks like, don't be afraid to have the $1 offer, the $5 offer. Like, don't be afraid to have like a library of things. Don't be afraid to digitize like what you have going on, or automate what you have going on, and doing it in a very small way. I'm also really getting, guys, that like you are going to be so grateful a year and a half from now that you started now and not a year and a half from now. So I don't know what that means for you. I have like, but that's the message. Like, it's like whatever you've been thinking about, whatever you've been like pondering about, you are going to be so grateful that you were ahead of it and you started today rather than a year and a half from now, 2 years from now. That is going to be like one of your greatest wins. And lastly, what would it feel like to not have to earn it, but rather to have the desire to want to share it? Like, what would it feel like to have fun and come from my heart and be playful rather than a constant feel of earning? And actually, that is what Money was saying, like this earning kind of anxiety is the imposter. Like, she's like, that's not me. That's not who I am. And what if that was eliminated and this was more out of excitement and creativity and new ideas? What would it look like if you came from that place? All right, my friends, I hope that was helpful. I had a lot of fun with this episode and I'm definitely going to listen back because I feel like there was messages for me there as well. And yeah, please let me know. I love seeing you guys share the episodes. I'm super grateful for that. I love that you send me messages on Instagram. I know I can't always answer back, but I do see them and it means a lot to me and it gives me the energy to keep going. And I love you guys so much. I'll see you next week. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.